Welcome back. In this lesson, we're going to glue a fill for heavyweight sub impact in Ableton Live 12, using that jungle and old school DNB mindset where the fill is not just decoration, it's pressure control. Think of the fill as a release valve. The whole point is not to show off with a bunch of drum chops. The point is to shape the energy so the next downbeat, especially the sub, lands harder. If you do this right, the listener doesn't just hear the drop. They feel the drop get bigger because you made room for it. So we're working in the groove area of drum and bass production. And the key idea here is simple. The fill has to stay connected to the main pocket. It should feel like the same drummer, the same swing, the same vibe, just pushed into a moment of tension before the return. First, set up a clear phrase. This works best at the end of an 8-bar or 16-bar section, right before the next drop or return. In arrangement view, find the spot where the groove is already established. You want drums, bass, and maybe the break layer or percussion loop in place, with a low-end anchor that you can control. Now here's an important mindset shift. Don't think how do I add more, think what do I thin out. In heavyweight DNB, the sub feels bigger when the arrangement creates negative space. So instead of muting everything and throwing chaos at it, start removing one thing at a time in the last bar or two. Maybe the bass dips out. Maybe the percussion gets thinner. Maybe the break loses a layer. That gap is what makes the impact pop. Next, build the fill from the drums first. That's the right order for this style. If you've got a break, slice it to a new MIDI track using Sliced New MIDI Track, and choose transient slicing so you can control the hits tightly. If you already have chopped audio, duplicate the last half bar and re-edit it into a fill. You're aiming for a few key gestures, not a drum solo, a snare pickup near the end of the bar, a kick snare stutter, maybe one or two ghost hits, and then a little gap before the downbeat. That gap matters. A fill that ends with a small silence, even just a 1/16 or 1/8, can make the drop feel massive. A classic shape here is something like a roll-up. You might have 1/16 snare flicks at the end of the bar, then a kick snare kick or snare drag pattern on the final beat, then a short breath of silence or just an FX tail. That's enough. In DNB, especially jungle and old school styles, you want controlled breach, not full-on chaos. Now let's glue the groove. This is where Ableton's groove pool becomes your secret weapon. Drag a groove onto your fill or break clip. For jungle and old school DNB, a subtle MPC style swing can work beautifully, or even a groove derived from your own break. The goal is to keep the timing human and connected, not lazy or late. In clip view, try modest settings, timing somewhere around 10-40%, random very low, and a little velocity influence if needed. If the groove gets too loose, back it off. The fill should feel like it belongs to the main loop, not like it wandered in from another session. If your main break has swing, your fill should share that same micro timing. That's how the return feels locked in. Now let's make room for the sub. This is huge. If the bass keeps talking through the fill, the impact gets diluted. On your bass track, automate a little dip in the last part of the phrase. That could be a 2 to 6 dB volume drop in the final quarter note area, a low-pass filter sweep, or even a tiny mute on the sub lane for the last 1/8 or 1/16. If your bass is layered, separate the sub from the mid-bass. Keep the sub mono with utility, centered and solid. Let the res or mid-layer do the movement. You can automate that layer's filter or resonance for tension, while the true sub steps out for a moment. That's how you create weight without muddying the low end. A really useful combination is this. Keep the sub mono, close down the res filter over the last bar, and drop the bass bus a few dB right before the transition. Now the ear feels the density thinning out, and when the sub returns, it lands with way more authority. After that, glue the fill together on a bus. Route your fill drums, break fragments, and any transition effects to a group. Then put some light bus processing on it. A glue compressor with gentle settings can help the hits feel like one performance. You're only looking for a little movement, maybe 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction, not heavy squashing. Follow that with saturator for density if needed, but keep it subtle. Soft clip-on can help catch peaks and add a little bite. If the fill feels boxy, use EQA to clean up some low, mod, or mid-range clutter. You can also try drum bus if you want a bit more punch and transient emphasis. The point is to make the fill sound unified, not overcooked. Here's the vibe to aim for. The listener should feel like one event is pulling into the next, not like random edits stacked together. That's what the glue is doing. It's holding the fragments into a single gesture. Now add a short reverb or delay throw, but keep the low end clean. A lot of intermediate producers make the mistake of bathing the fill in too much ambience, and then the first sub note gets blurred. Don't do that. Use a return track with hybrid reverb, or echo. Keep the decay short, the pre-delay modest, and cut the lows hard. If you're using delay, filter the low end aggressively, and only send the final hit, or maybe a tiny slice of the fill. Automate the send so the FX appears only at the end of the phrase. You want atmosphere, not soup. A short tail can make the transition feel expensive and deep, but the first bass note has to stay clean. Now we get to the actual impact. The biggest sub hits happen through contrast, not just volume. So in the bar before the drop, remove the bass for the last little gap. Let the fill end on a snare or a drum stab. Maybe even leave a micro silence before the downbeat. Then let the first note of the drop arrive cleanly, right on the grid. If you're using MIDI bass, try making that first note slightly longer than the surrounding notes, just a touch. That can help it feel anchored. If it's an audio bass, make sure the transient is clean and the start point is tight. You want the note to feel like it slams in, not fades in. A good first note after the fill is often the root on the downbeat. Sometimes an octave reinforcement works too, but only if the arrangement has room for it. And if you use a pickup note before the drop, keep it very controlled. The idea is to preload the ear so the return feels heavier. This is also the stage where you can add small automation details that make the whole thing feel intentional. Nudge the bass filter cutoff. Push the Reese resonance a bit. Automate a short send into echo or reverb. Add a brief gain lift on the fill bus if needed. Then drop it back, so the downbeat still feels bigger. Tiny changes matter here. A few milliseconds of timing adjustment on the last snare drag can completely change the feel. So trust your ear and move things by feel, not by habit. If you want a classic jungle move, try a reversed cymbal or reversed break fragment leading into the final hit. Keep it tucked under the drums, not floating above them. It should feel like suction into the drop, not a big shiny EDM sweep. Now always test the fill in context. Solo can lie to you. A fill might sound huge alone and weak in the full arrangement. So listen with the preceding groove, the bass return, and the first bar after the drop. Ask yourself, does the fill create anticipation? Does the sub feel bigger after the gap? Is there enough silence for the impact to register? Does the break still swing naturally? That context check is where the readal decision gets made. For example, a phrase might go like this. Main roller for a couple of bars. Then the drums thin out and the bass starts closing its filter. Then a fill with snare flicks and a reverse tail. Then the full drop return with mono sub and break accents. That structure is classic because it gives the track a clear turning point. Before you finish, check the transition in mono. Collapse the mix or use utility on the master to hear whether the sub is still centered and solid. Make sure the reverb tails are filtered, the kick and sub aren't fighting each other, and the bass re-entry isn't clipping the master. Clean headroom matters. A harder drop comes from a clean path, not from just turning it up. A few common mistakes to avoid: making the fill too busy, letting the bass continue right through the transition, drowning it in reverb, whitening the sub, or forgetting to test the whole thing in context. In this style, two or three strong gestures usually hit harder than a pile of edits. Keep the fill functional, not flashy. Here's a great way to practice this. Build three one-bar transition versions from the same drum loop. Make one minimal, with just a snare pickup and a short bass pause. Make one more classic jungle style, using chopped break fragments, a ghost note, and a short FX throw. Then make one heavier tension version with stronger bass filtering, a more pronounced fill, and a short reverb tail. Listen to which one makes the sub return feel biggest, which one feels most authentic, and which one stays clearest in mono. Then reduce one element, shorten one tail, and tighten one bass start. If it still hits hard after that cleanup, you've probably got the right one. So remember the core idea. In jungle and old school D&B, the best fills don't just sound good. They load the impact. They manage pressure. They create a little absence so the sub can come back and feel physically larger. Build the fill around the groove, keep the swing consistent, give the bass a short pause, glue the fragments together, and keep the FX filtered and controlled. Do that, and your drop won't just arrive. It'll slam.